Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise. It's time to wake on up, wake up with a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the butcher boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Happy hump day, people. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day indeed, Tim Hardaway Sr. But it's not happy if you're a San Francisco Giants fan as they fall last night. 9-8 the final after building a 5-run lead. It evaporates, and it evaporated very, very quickly. Ryan Walker gives it up in the 9th. 2 runs there as Mr. Donovan, Brendan Donovan, with 4 doubles yesterday. And the Giants' playoff hopes are officially over. 77-81 currently. They got 4 games to go before the end of the season. And I welcome in all of you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Hope you are all had a lovely overnight. If you're working overnight, if you're just getting up, hit us up, 888-957-9570. I say good morning to Joe. Across from me, Carter, Sam, all you lovely people. We will touch on the San Francisco 49ers because it is a massive game this Sunday against the Jaguars. Obviously, no Nick Bosa. But a season that started off pretty good for the Orange and Black. You add Rafi Devers on Father's Day, Joe. We're all feeling really good. They started getting hot here in the last month. And then the last few weeks, they faded, and they faded quickly. And I'm looking at a record that's been quite and all too familiar, hovering around 500 at the end of the season.
I thought it was very poetic yesterday that the Giants gave up a bunch of runs in the first inning, battled back, scored a bunch of runs, had a big lead, and then two guys whose arms are about to fall off, who've been good for you this year, Bivens, Lucchese, and then Ryan Walker at the end, basically blew a giant lead. And then the Giants have an opportunity with a runner on in the 9th inning, 1 out, and what do they do to end their season in regards to the math of making the playoffs? Strikeout, strikeout. Strikeout, strikeout. With a runner on. So, you know, I think this year was a great building block year. And I know everyone wants to lose their mind and go crazy about the Giants not making the playoffs. But the reality is that two things can be true at once when talking about the 2025 Giants. One thing is, yeah, they underperformed in a variety of areas. But also, they exceeded my expectations, and I feel really good about where they're at moving forward. And it's also going to change my opinions about how we operate at the deadline because of the nucleus they have going. I think this year boils down to a couple things. Number one, lack of starting pitching. It's undeniable. They ran out of arms when it comes to the starting pitching. No one would deny that. Started the year off with Harrison. Started the year off with Birdsong coming out of the bullpen. Started the year off with Lander Root pitching really, really well.
Jordan Hicks.
Jordan Hicks, I never thought
I know,
he would
but
be
a, they did. They did.
No, yeah. I know. Well, and they were wrong. You know, obviously traded Jordan Hicks and Harrison for Devers. It's a great trade. You do it 10 out of 10 times. Birdsong, I don't know what happened. I don't know if I can trust him moving forward. Him and Wisenhunt, the young guy, the lefty who got called up. We will see. Lander Root got hurt. And that sucks. But I wanted to see if he can get through the season. Logan Webb, though it's been a good year, it's been Lincoln Oil, I think. I think most people who've watched every single start from him would say his September and his July were really, like, subpar by Logan Webb standards. Robbie Ray kind of started leaking oil down the stretch. They need more arms in that rotation. Then I look at that bullpen. Hey, I have no problem. They're going to rework the bullpen. They've done it multiple times over the last 5 or 6 years. Even as poor as Farhan was at team building, he was really good at building that bullpen. But I look at some of their linchpin players, Matt Chapman in particular. He's got a down year. You're going to look at the home runs. You're going to say 21 home runs. To me, it's the doubles, the lack of driving the ball into the gap, the amount of strikeouts versus base hits is alarming. Now, I know he's a high strikeout guy, but this year, I just thought situationally, he was poor. I think he would admit that. This is a 32-year-old. I would have signed him. I would have gave him the deal. But looking at it, that contract don't look great. And I think he needs a bounce-back year next year. Then I go, what do you do with Elliot Ramos?
Mm.
We know Adames is here. We know Devers is here. You're going to give, obviously, Bryce Eldridge this opportunity, right? Ramos, to me, is one of the most interesting players on the team. He's good. He's a really good player. He just hit 20 home runs last night. When was the last time a homegrown guy hit 20 home runs back-to-back years?
Barry Bonds. Oh, is it? Homegrown. Sorry. I thought it was the like left fielder one. I saw a bunch of different ones. Everyone's like, the first left fielder since Barry to hit 20 home runs, which is crazy. And he is homegrown. So, yeah.
Matt Williams?
Matt Williams. You know, I don't even know. We'll get Sam on there. Yeah, Carter in the back.
It might be Matt Williams. But here's the problem with Ramos. He does a lot of things really well. But considering you have Devers, Chapman, and Adames locked up to long-term deals, and I am assuming they're going to stay, I can't have one of my other top-of-the-order guys be another high strikeout, more strikeout than hits type of a guy. I think on the right team with the right roster around him, he'd be a really nice fit. He's a terrible defensive left fielder. And so I'm looking at this team and I say to myself, I think they have to make a decision on Ramos for this offseason. Either you're going to keep him or you're going to flip him. He's highly streaky. His June, July, September were awful. June, July, September. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means he started off great, had a month in between June, July, and September, August, that is, where he was really good. Everything else was awful in those 3 months. And so I got to find out if he can play defense. Can he commit himself this winter to playing defense? I don't know about that. I don't know. I got questions on him long term. He's also a guy that I think who can net you back something of significance. And then I get to what you do with Jung-Hoo Lee and the rest of that outfield. I don't know. But I like the nucleus. I like the nucleus. And moving forward, as I kind of step forward, I think this is a great building block year. Mm. People don't want to hear that, and they want to make the playoffs, and I get that.
Yeah.
Think about it, Giants fans. You fell in love with a lot of guys on this team. Mm. All right? You did. You fell back in love with your team. I look at the Giants right now, and they kind of remind me of a football team that has a bunch of linebackers but no pass rushers. A basketball team with a bunch of guards and no forwards and no centers. They got a bunch of dudes who are going to hit the ball over the fence, which is great because we haven't had that forever. Now I need table setters and elite defensive players, and I need starting pitching. I think it's pretty clear what they need this offseason. And so as I approach the offseason, as I approach next deadline, seeing how mediocre the rest of the NL is, seeing how mediocre the race to the wild card is, every year that you have the Adames, Devers, Eldridge, nucleus together, you better be all in moving forward. I will defend the Tyler Rogers deal. I will defend the Doval deal. I will defend the Yaz deal. But now moving forward, you better be all in because you could be god-awful for a month and a half, 2 months, and still be right there.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here in a second. 888-957-9570. That's the number to call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line as we are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. Also, be sure to hit us up on YouTube where we are streaming all day long. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan, apply online, or just ask for First NorCal financing with a dealer. This is going to be the fourth straight season that you're going to be finishing either at 500 or a couple games below
500. But it feels different.
Why?
Because I have guys that will actually be here for the next couple of years. Devers is in his prime. And if this is a down year, sign me up all day.
Okay, so we got Devers. How are we feeling about Willy Adames going
forward? I feel good about Willy Adames. Even though he was really streaky this year, if this is a down year, He's going to hit close to 30 home runs, if not more than 30.
Okay, so we got two building blocks
and
there.
I thought his defense improved as the year went on.
We got two building blocks there. Jung-Hoo Lee, I know we were all kind of hard on him early on. This is basically a redshirt rookie season for him in the major leagues because he missed most of last year. I thought he came on really strong, slumped horribly
in
a couple stretch, but I think he salvaged his season in a very strong way towards the end there.
I would agree. I would agree. But I would say to you, I've got certain question marks regarding Jung-Hoo Lee.
Some reservations still.
I think that if you're going to play center field, you better be elite defensively. And I think that he's spotty.
Okay.
That's the way I would put him, spotty. I could be sold on another year of Jung-Hoo Lee. I could also be sold on a trade. I'm not married one way or the other.
So I'm looking at the season in totality. I'm basically just going to use the season's almost over for them. So they need speed. And they need some more power.
They need contact, and they need contact. I disagree. I think they need contact.
Well, they're bottom two in steals this season. Only the Detroit Tigers have stolen less bases than the Giants at 60. The Giants have stolen 68 bases this season. Tampa Bay has damn near tripled you with 188, and they're number one. Their average this season as a team, 235. This is bottom five in all of the major leagues. They're slugging. Is bottom six with 384. Their OPS, on base plus slugging, is bottom seven at 695. It's not good. It's not good enough.
I'm not denying you.
I know people always want to go to, this is a pitcher's park, you got to lean on the pitching, you got to lean on all of that. I understand that they're probably not going to jump from bottom five to top five, top 10 next year. Can I get just some improvement on that front? Because this has been the same thing year in and year out, it feels like. And that gets me to the manager you haven't brought up yet, Bob Melvin.
Oh, gosh.
And in the last two seasons, it's basically going to be a mirror copy of each other. Now, you said it was a building block year. They did add some pieces that you could be excited about going forward. They actually have a legitimate roster every day that you could look at a lineup card and say, okay, I could respect that. Last year and the seasons prior, you didn't have that. So I'll meet you halfway there, Joe, where they do have some pieces that you could at least be excited about going forward. But we're talking about the season basically being over. I know they got four games left, but they have been eliminated from playoff contention. That's why we're talking about the San Francisco Giants. And I want to hear from Giants fans.
Before you move
their
on,
thoughts. Yes.
Before you move on, everybody's losing their minds about Ryan Walker. You know what drove me nuts last night?
What?
And I want to look Bob Melvin right in the face. You're really going to pinch hit Wilmer Flores for Bryce Eldridge at the end of that game last night? Who matters more about this team moving forward? No, I'm asking you seriously. Wilmer Flores, God bless him. I know he's been a great Giant. Who means more for the future? Having a guy at second base and an opportunity to drive in the game-tying run, does it matter more for Bryce Eldridge or Wilmer Flores?
Well, why does Bob Melvin confidence? Care about the future? Because he cares about the game yesterday.
Bob had months to get this team rocking and rolling, and you're gonna pinch hit Wilmer Flores. You should have pinch hit Wilmer Flores for freaking Matt Chapman if that's what we're doing. Matt Chapman's just striking out just as much as Bryce Eldridge.
20 at bats for Bryce Eldridge, batting a crisp .05.
He's got one hit.
He has five walks,
but Joe,
eight strikeouts.
The point of bringing him up is to play him through the development one way or the other.
I mean, the only reason they brought him up is because of the injury to Dom Smith. That was the only reason they really brought him up. They didn't want to. We talked to Dave Fleming. We'll talk to Dave Fleming at 8:30.
You might be right, but Joe, how many different sports do we need to figure this out? Guys need to be able to have the grace to make mistakes.
Oh, you tell me. The Giants are doing it early. They're playing Jackson Dart. We're going to cross-sport analogy. They're ripping the Band-Aid off early. We've seen enough Russell Wilson. Let's just go with the young guy, and we'll see.
How many putrid at-bats with runners in the scoring position do I need to watch from... No, I'm serious.
I know Matt you
Chapman,
are.
For Matt Chapman, or let's just, for example, Pat Bailey, who's been atrocious.
Oh, we'll get into Pat Bailey.
No, he's been much better in the last month or two. He's been atrocious for months. All those guys are allowed to fail, but your prized possession can't get one at-bat in the ninth inning against... Look, I get it. It's a high leverage situation, whatever. Like, these are the moments. You're not in it. Look, well, the season's on the line. You got to go to... What? You had months to figure this out. You blew the lead six different ways in the sixth, seventh, and eighth, ninth inning. And you're going to pinch hit Bryce Eldridge? How does that instill confidence in him? How does that empowering? What's the point of bringing... Then why even bring him up? Like, oh, that,
I told
that's
you,
what I'm saying.
Yeah, I told you why, because they had an injury to Dom Smith. They felt like they wanted to
go. So you asked about Bob Melvin?
Yeah.
That is why Bob's got to go.
888-957-9570 is the number. We actually got a text last night, Joe.
Wilmer's done.
We had a text last night.
I love Wilmer, but it triggered me last night.
Okay. Fair enough. Hey, you're passionate. We're going to get into all of it, but this is
a
great
future.
Text.
Hey, you are the future. You're the future of this franchise. So what you know, you're the future of the franchise.
Yes.
Okay? We've been talking about you forever. You are the future. And we're going to go Wilmer Flores, who has no future.
Well, I mean, I'm sure Bryce isn't going to be too concerned about that, considering he only has one hit and 20 at-bats. I don't think he's going to take it that personally. It's baseball, right? They were trying to win the game yesterday. Wilmer Flores, I know the future is Bryce. Wilmer's been better this year. They weren't officially eliminated for the playoffs just yet. They lost the game, and that's why they're officially eliminated. Had they won it, they would not have been. So they were still playing for something. And in that situation, you mean to tell me, if you're still playing for your job, if you're Bob Melvin, I'm going Bryce Eldridge over Wilmer Flores? Joe, like, you got to be, come on. I know as a fan you're feeling that. Bob was.
I don't care about Bob Melvin's future on this team. The mandate should have came
you
down
don't.
From the top.
Bob does.
I don't care about Bob.
Great.
I don't care. As much as the Giants PR might make me want to care that he grew up here, the guy, I have zero attachment emotionally to Bob Melatone Melvin, okay? Period. You know who I am invested in as a fan? Bryce Eldridge.
Okay.
You're not going in. You have lost 10 of 12 leading into this game. Okay. You blew an 8-3 lead, and you're going to give me this. We're fighting for our life. I mean, just
fight. For
come on,
life.
Dog. What are we doing?
This will cheer you up.
What are we doing?
This will cheer you up. 707.
What are we doing?
This is
like, you know what this is like? This is like playing, no, seriously. Yeah. This is like playing Brad Wanamaker, all right, ahead of Jonathan Kuminga or Brandon Pajemski. But Brad gives me a better chance to stay in it right now. This is like,
hi, Jerome.
This is the equivalent of playing Mohamed Sanu instead of trying to play Ricky Pearsall on the field. Like, that's what it is. That's what it is. Let's call it what it is. I love Wilmer. He's a great guy. He should have been traded at the deadline, and he should have been DFA'd.
I love when you go there. I love Wilmer.
No, he is. Like, he had a great year a couple years ago.
Every time.
No,
I know when Shasky's dealt with someone.
Two things can be true.
He's a great
guy. He had a great year a couple years ago.
Yeah.
His time with the team is done. The time now is to... We have seen this. How many sports... We've been arguing about Jonathan Kuminga for 4 years. 4 years. And it's moments like last night in the ninth inning. Those are the moments where guys get opportunities to grow. Even if they fail, you have to stay committed. Are they committed as an organization? I'm serious. Or if you're committed as an organization to the kid, the 20-year-old kid, you have got to put your arms around him. And even if he starts 1 for 1,000 to start his career, you've got to say, you're our guy. You're our guy. And in the ninth inning, even if you're 0 for your last 13, we are going to have you go up there. And we want to see you take this at bat. Because you know what might happen? The guy might actually prove you right.
He might.
And that could be a seminal growing moment for the kid. Do we just want young players to hypothetically in our minds exist, or do we want to watch growth in real time? I'm asking you. Or do you just want to say, hey, we tried, we put Wilmer Flores out there, we tried.
Bob Melvin was trying to win the game, and he believed...
Trying to win the game.
I mean, Wilmer
you
Flores...
You are 10 for Wilmer, your last...
Wilmer Flores gives him a better opportunity to win than Bryce Eldridge.
If that's the case, we would have never got a chance to see the kid Gilbert, because we would have kept sticking with Mike Yastrzemski. And as we've learned, like, Yaz is a better baseball player than Gilbert overall. Hasn't it been nice to see the growth and development and the ups and downs of Gilbert? He's been one of the fun aspects of the team over the last month.
Yeah.
There is no future for Yaz. I mean, there's no future.
I mean, it's been a fun development, but it's also coinciding with the team falling flat in his face because he's batting 202.
Me up for it, because the last 6 years of Yaz, we have failed to make the playoffs 5 of those years.
Let's pick this up on the other side. I have a text that I want to get to that was sent to us 8 hours ago, Joe. It's going to put a smile on your face.
Guys, we talk about wanting young players, and yet none of you are committed to seeing a young player struggle a little. I'm tired of it. Stop saying you only want Avatar. And then what happens? We give you these Avatar journeymen, and you don't care. You don't watch. That's the 2021 team. You didn't care, and you didn't watch. But yet we finally get a young player, and none of you will cape up for him. in the ninth inning. Shame on you.
Yeah, man, you seem very emotional regarding this.
I am. That's a great I'm going to die on the Bryce Eldridge Hill. Either he's going to succeed or he's going to fail, but I'm going to let him get that at bat.
Well, I thought it was going to put a smile on your face. Maybe it won't. This next segment is going to be brought to you by Moderna. I want to hear from all the Giants fans out there, 888-957-9570, and wait till you hear what Patrick Bailey had to say about a new rule change coming to Major League Baseball next year. Ooh, boy. His days might be numbered, Carter.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNC's apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Or was there no steps taken at all? 888-957-9570. And by the way, this Sunday, we're going to be back at Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale for the kickoff show. Great food, great drinks, and great games in the parking lot. The show starts at 10 a.m. with E-Dog, Evan Giddings, and Lo Neal. Plus, all the early games will be on for you to watch. And get this, if you're going to be going to the game, there's a free shuttle to and from the stadium. That's right. Park at Laughing Monk for free. Join the party, and then take the shuttle back and forth to the game. All you have to do is sign up and reserve a spot. Do it right now because space is limited. Go to 95.7thegame.com, click the kickoff show graphic, and then click the Eventbrite link and sign up. We will touch on the Niners, I promise, because there is a comparison with these two teams right now when it comes to expectations. And I do think it's fascinating, as you use the term building block season, Joe. And you laid out your points very eloquently. You know, you got some pieces you could be excited about that you could feel good about next year.
They have a good nucleus.
Last year, you didn't feel that way. Last year, it was a bunch of platooners, basically. Shout out Charlie Sheen. That's what it kind of felt like. Chapman, Adames, Devers, Lee. We'll see on Ramos. You got Webb. You got Ray, right? We'll see with Justin Verlander. I think he's kind of salvaged his season this last month or so. He could be a 4-5 guy. I think he was signed to be a 3, and for most of the season, he wasn't that. You need to add more depth in pitching. Everyone needs to add pitching, but the Giants in particular need to get some more pop, more contact, as you're saying. So there is still work to be done. Will Bob Melvin be a part of it? That's going to be the question, and we'll be monitoring that the next few days.
Just hear me out on this.
I'm going to hear you.
I just want you to hear me out on this. I'm not calling him Willie Mays, okay? I'm not calling him Willie Mays, right? But famously, Willie Mays started off his career 0-for-12. And they stuck with him because this is a guy that they knew and they had unbelievable confidence in was going to figure it out and get it right. Now, that's, we're talking about one of the greatest players in any sport. Forget just baseball. Willie Mays is an icon, all right? But let me give you a more focused one for right now. The Boston Red Sox had a kid, Roman Anthony, who right now, you look up, this guy's batting almost 300. He's got 8 jacks, 75 hits in a very condensed part of the year. He started off his career 2-for-27. Batted basically 200 for the first month of his career. Was struggling. But the Red Sox have so much faith and belief and put their arms around Roman Anthony. They were like, no. You mean more than the other players. Bryce Eldridge means more to the current and the future San Francisco Giants organization than any just random dude that they've called up. He's not Christian Koss. I'm not trying to dog Christian Koss. I like Christian Koss. But to think that this organization should treat Bryce Eldridge the same as someone like Christian Koss is absurd to me. It's absurd to me, quite frankly. All right? So this isn't just any player. This is a guy that we all know you really think highly of. You've told me he's basically untradeable without saying it, All right? So when a situation like last night presents itself and you have the option of putting your arms around your prized possession player who's clearly struggling and saying, no, 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 we picked you and we believe in you and we don't really care if you've, like, we want you to succeed, but we're going to have your back whether you are struggling or not. Look around this lineup. Jungwoo Lee, Ramos, Adames, Chapman, Bailey, Devers. Pick the guy. They've all had horrible months. Horrible months. So to say that Bryce Eldridge can't have a slow and crummy start to his career, when I look up and down the lineup and I'm like, you've backed all these guys, and why have you done that? Well, it's either roster politics or a contract. Well, in this situation, you've invested so much into this kid. You owe it to yourself and the kid to have his back in the ninth inning with Adames standing on second base, and you go and pinch hit, and we like him. I get it. Wilmer Flores, who has, how many hits does Wilmer Flores have over the last 75 days? Don't even look. Don't look. I'm not letting you look.
Oh, boy.
How many do you think?
75 days or games?
Last 75 days. How many hits for Wilmer Flores? Just asking.
15.
17.
Oh, wow. That was pretty close.
17 hits in 75 days. All right? Who has no contract pass this year. He's not on your team next year. You could like the guy. Wilmer, you've had your chance. All right? This is about the young man having a chance to endear himself and to build confidence. These moments are about building confidence. And if he strikes out, it's just another part of the Rolodex and the learning curve. Are you invested in seeing the kid fully, like, become the player you want him to be? Then you wrap your arms around him, you let him hit in the ninth inning. I couldn't believe he got pinch hit for last night. And it speaks to me, and you're talking about, well, Bob's trying to win the game. Bob had 6 months to not blow games. When you called up Bryce Eldridge, it's like, hey, in the games that he plays, we're all in on letting him play. If you don't want to start him and you want to win that game and you want to go with Wilmer Flores, fine. That's a different thing. You don't pinch hit for him in the ninth inning. It felt very Joey Bart-ish when I watched Joey Bart get pinch hit for after having 3 good at-bats. And it's like, nah, man. Like, that's Little League stuff. No, I'm sorry. Don't treat Bryce Eldridge like Christian Goss. I'm sorry. Like, and it'd be another thing. Hey, if you were pinch hitting Raffy Devers for him, I'll listen. Wilmer? Come on, man. Come on. I'm sorry. I'm going to die on this hill. Like, if that was a Bob decision...
Well, he's the manager. Take so a hike. Who else decision was it? I mean, it had to have been Bob Melvin's. Like, what...
Did anyone ask him in the postgame?
Well, they didn't really ask a lot about the game, if we're keeping it a buck, because Bob Melvin, you know what? Let's just play it. This was Bob Melvin when he was asked about not making the playoffs after the loss yesterday.
Like I've been describing it for a while now, pretty frustrating, and everybody's none too happy about it. So this is a day we're not looking forward to, and it's here, so it's disappointing.
Hey, Bob, did you address the clubhouse after finding out that you no longer qualify for the playoffs?
Did you address the clubhouse after tonight's loss?
No, I didn't need to address. Anything about the game?
Yeah, here's my question about the game, Bob. Why are you pinch hitting Wilmer Flores for Bryce Eldridge? Why? Why?
You know, Wilmer puts us in a better position to succeed in that moment.
Clearly not, because he struck out.
He did, just like Bryce has done. 8 times in 20 at-bats.
You're really going to treat Bryce Eldridge? Like come on.
No, I'm telling you what Bob Melvin is feeling in that moment, which is not that absurd. I know it's absurd in the grand scheme of things because you want Bryce to be the future of the team. That's what the Giants need him to be. And Wilmer Flores is probably gone now. I hear what you're saying. Like, I'm not disagreeing with your philosophy on the thing. I'm just telling you Bob Melvin is trying to win the game yesterday.
He had 6 months to win games.
Yeah, but he's still trying to win this one. Like,
no,
that's the
no,
point.
No,
just lose. There you go.
No. I disagree, and I completely disagree. Please. You have lost 10 of 12. Your season's over. You're done. You've had opportunities.
Well, now it's done.
No. You had opportunities to win now when you played the Padres, when you played the Dodgers twice. You had opportunities to control your destiny. You have forfeited the right. Don't give me this. I'm trying to win the game. You had 6 months to win games. And you Cool Hand Luke. I'm talking to Bob Melvin here. Had many hands in choosing the wrong reliever at the wrong time that caused it. So, no, you have forfeited the right to try to win games. Once Bryce got called up, the white flag was signaled.
I mean, you took away all of his best weapons in the bullpen. Randy Rodriguez got hurt. I mean, he had a makeshift bullpen. What do you want the guy to do? He got dealt a bad hand, too. They were sellers at the deadline. And they did go on a nice little run.
They should have sold.
And then they reverted back.
They should have sold.
Yep, they should have.
They should have sold.
And they did.
They were the worst team in baseball for 50 games, which is the third of the season. They had the same winning percentage, 32%, that the White Sox had for 50 games. Not a couple weeks. 50 games. So, like, I'm going to die on this hill. And you guys all say you want to see player development. Like, we're all losing our minds 4 years later about Kuminga. They're doing it to Bryce Eldridge in the first 2 weeks of his career, and we all see you don't have Steph Curry on the team. You're not competing for championships. Your season is over.
A big rule change is happening in Major League Baseball starting next year, and it could affect one San Francisco Giant in a way where he might not be valuable anymore. We'll explain on the other side. Plus, wait till you hear what Logan Webb had to say after his start yesterday. He grinded out after a tough first inning, but the postseason hopes are now over in San Francisco. And Logan, well, he's pretty frustrated about it. We'll get to you on the other side. Did the Giants take a step forward this year? Or is it more of the same for you? 888-957-9570. That's what's coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not going to let the Giants' playoff hopes ending last night bring me down. I'm still going to have a good vibe today. You know why? Because the Niners are 3-0. And I'm locked in on the football right now. But we're going to be talking about the Giants, and we'll get into the 49ers, I promise. We've got Dave Fleming joining us at 8:30, courtesy of River Islands. Dave Fleming, all season long, been breaking it down. Our 95% of the game, Giants insider, voice of the Giants.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'm sure he's not loving what he saw last night, what he's seen for the last month. Have the Giants taken a step forward this season? 888-957-9570. But I tease a couple segments. There's been a rule change that's going to be implemented next year. Joe, you want to hear about it in Major League Baseball? Would you like to?
I'm all ears.
So the joint competition committee voted Tuesday afternoon to bring the automated ball strike challenge system to the big leagues, following several years of experimentation in the minors and use in MLB spring training and in the All-Star game this past year. So the ABS is what they're calling it, the Automated Ball Strike Challenge System. It's going to be instituted next year. Now, a lot of catchers that, you know, hang their hat, or masks, I should say, on framing pitches are going to be very upset about this. One of those guys that does it better than anyone else, according to metrics, is Patrick Bailey. Here's his thoughts, Joe, on the new ABS system being implemented next year.
No, I mean, I don't really have any thoughts on it. I think we'll just have to figure out kind of what it looks like. Obviously, I've had experience with it in AAA a little bit and in spring training. But, yeah, I mean, obviously it'll be a big change, and we'll just got to figure out how to use it to the best of our ability.
Does it take away anything from your game?
I'm not sure. I hope not.
You take so much pride in how good you are as a framer. If that does change down the line, is that just kind of a bummer for what you do so well?
I think it's a bummer for catchers across the league if that's the case. But, I mean, I don't think it's going to take away the value of framing. You still have to be able to get calls and keep strikes. And at the end of the day, I think it's just going to be really valuable to know his own.
That was Patrick Bailey. Sound a little dejected, obviously, given the circumstances of the season. But, I mean, no one relies more on pitch framing amongst catchers in baseball than Patrick Bailey. And if that's what he hangs his hat on as a catcher right now, that's basically what it is, because the guy this season is batting 224 in 401 at-bats. He has 90 hits. Wow, more than I thought. Look at that. 280 on base percentage, 329 slugging, and a 609 OPS. Yeah, he's not known for his offense. And if that's going to be taken away, his defense, talking about guys that we're looking forward to next year, Joe, Patrick Bailey is not one of them right now. And that sounds harsh, but it's the reality. I mean, you got to get better. If you go from Buster Posey to this guy, yeah, and Buster is now the president of baseball operations, you don't think that guy is worried about the catching position? He's circling. That one might be the biggest need this offseason.
It's definitely a huge need. There's no doubt about it. And, him being, angry about ABS, it's a couple of pitches a game.
It's correct. It's not okay. The entire game.
I think we're all losing our minds. We're talking about a couple of pitches a game. It's not every single call. And, anybody that's played, you could argue balls and strikes on every pitch. Every pitch. So, I don't know. I just, when I think of the greatest catchers of all time, in any order, Ivan Rodriguez, Gary Carter, you want to say Carlton Fisk, Piazza, obviously Johnny Bench is probably
Yachty
the greatest.
Yadier Molina.
Yachty. Yeah. Framing, yes, it's an element of their game, but so is their arm, and so is their understanding of the staff, and so is their bat, right? There's a duality to playing the position. And so, yeah, okay, framing is a big part of his game. Well, yeah, you're going to have to get a little better at that, at the other stuff, to round out your game. And you'll still be able to frame to a degree. You just won't be able to steal as many strikes.
I mean, it's been incredible, the drop-off there. And they've tried to find the successor, whether it be Joey Bart, who's now gone in Pittsburgh, whether it's Patrick Bailey. They've been trying to find the guy, but... I just go back to Buster Posey, and not that he's taken for granted. He's not. He's a Hall of Famer, one of the best in his position. He's insane. But ever since he came into the league, he was basically a 300 hitter or slightly below that.
Yeah.
It was literally 305, 284, 336, 294, 311, 318. So, we're talking about drop-offs from positions.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an avalanche at that one, offensively. Now, it's great that he could do all those other things. And you mentioned it. It's a couple pitches a game. This is the equivalent of the challenge system in the NBA, of throwing a red flag in NFL. It's not going to be there. Now, I will say this. Eventually, it will be full-time. And they will eventually get to a point where it is ABS all the time. And you'll just have the umpire back there to check for, an illegal swing or backswing, whatever. He'll be there, but it'll be more ceremonial, if anything, because eventually they'll institute it full time. But for now, it is a couple pitches, and I don't think he needs to be freaking out or anyone else needs to be.
No, I think it's kind of. I think it's just bizarre how upset he is over it. I think it shows how fragile his position is on the team, and I think he needs to be working on a lot. I mean, he had a nice little, little bloop base hit to left field last night. I think he needs to figure out what he's going to do in terms of switch hitting. Are you going to continue to be a switch hitter That we're going to see. I don't know. While we're on the position of catching, I don't know if you're paying attention. Cal Raleigh's having a historic offensive season.
Oh, he's insane. He's going to be the MVP of the AL. Yeah. I'm pretty confident in that.
I still like Judge, but that's fine. I don't love a guy batting 245 winning my MVP.
Fair enough.
He's had a hell of a year. I mean, it is a historic catching season, but I'm seeing this misnomer. The best offensive catching season was actually Buster Posey and... Guys, baseball existed well before Buster Posey showed up. I would dare anyone to just Google Mike Piazza mid-90s.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Now, Cal Raleigh's season, he's got 58 home runs, 121 RBIs, but he is batting 245, and he struck out. How many times do you think he struck out this year?
Scat-da-da-da.
Cal Raleigh.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
100?
100, I was going to say 125?
180.
Wow.
He's gonna strike out 200 times. He's got 140 hits, okay? I just picked one Mike Piazza here, okay? Just to give you guys an example of how great he was offensively.
Hall of Famer, Mike Piazza, yes.
1997, 201 hits, 32 doubles, which is a dozen more than Cal Raleigh right now, 40 home runs, 124 RBIs. 77 Ks. He batted 362.
It's a nice little player.
He's aura.
Okay? 362. Now, I'm not saying that Cal Raleigh's like, he's having a hell of a year, but there are guys like...
All natural, too, for Piazza.
Roy Campanella.
All natural.
Okay? You know, Carlton Fisk. Multiple Piazza years. I mean, multiple. I can even give you a Joe Mauer year that I wrote down. 191 hits.
Another Hall of Famer.
28 home runs, 30 doubles, 96 RBIs, a gazillion walks, and a 365 batting average. So, I know there are a lot of stat nerds that don't think batting average matters. I couldn't disagree more. I think that Cal Raleigh's having a monster season. But to say it's the greatest offensive catching season, I think we need to do a little bit of digging and a little bit of history. I mean, let me give you another one, the 95
Just
year.
Just to make it clear, I never said that he's having the greatest.
I don't think you did. Yeah, I didn't say that you did. Like, it's just in 112 games, because Piazza got hurt and stuff, 150 hits, 17 doubles, 32 homers, 93 RBIs. He batted 346.
There's been a lot of good catchers. There's been a lot of good ones. Like, since the year 2000,
it's just incredible.
That's when I've been kind of more locked into baseball. And again, this is our different generation there. But yeah, I loved watching Piazza growing up. He was like the guy, those black Mets uniforms, Piazza. Like, everyone had those jerseys or hats because of that guy. It was literally him. You can ask Sam, ask Carter, we're all the same age.
One of my hated Dodgers.
For sure, but I view him as the Mets. The guy,
I have zero memory of him on the Dodgers.
Exactly.
Yeah, see, he had like four straight years with the Dodgers that were just incredible. Let me give you one.
Didn't he know Lasorda or something, like their family?
He was a 30-something pick because, he was like a cousin or whatever. Right? It was like a family favorite. Yeah. Let me give you, I don't think we appreciate how great Jorge Posada was, just in general.
Hip, hip, Jorge.
To a lesser degree, Veritek. Posada played for like 20 years. 1 year, 2007, he batted 338. Walked 75 times, 20-90 in that lineup, by the way. In that lineup, 171 hits, 42 doubles. He batted 338. I know in the day and age where everyone's launch angle, hit bombs, there's too many strikeouts for me, just in general, and I don't think we appreciate overall batting average and bat-to-ball skills, and I think you're going to see the trend start to go back in another direction.
I don't mind, and again, you're referencing all elite catchers, Posada, borderline Hall of Famer.
Individual offensive
seasons. For sure.
We talk about the catching position as a whole, Cal Raleigh's having a monster year. All-time,
correct.
Most home runs in Mariner history in a single season. I mean, like, he's having a special, special season.
And that's an achievement in and of itself, thinking of some of the great Mariners hitters and home run hitters of all time to play there. A-Rod, all right? Ken Griffey Jr. The list goes on. Hell, Ichiro, not known for his power, obviously, but can
Ichiro,
hit over.
200 hits, 11 straight or 12 straight years.
I know. JT and SF
give it to me.
Wants to talk about the Giants, and specifically one Bob Melvin. JT, what's up, man?
What's
on the Morning
JT?
Roast.
You? That's right. I forget. What's it? Okay.
JT.
Yeah, hey, good morning.
What's up?
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.